When Heather and I began talking about this Sunday several weeks back, I shared with her what my scripture and sermon topic would be, and immediately she said, then Job would be a good topic for us to focus on in chapel for the next few weeks. So the basis for this message comes ultimately from God, but also by way of our preschool chapel, which you just heard. As the Bible says, a little child shall lead them. Now I want to give thanks again to Heather, the teachers, you as parents, who have enabled your children to contribute to today's message in such a significant manner. And I don't use the word significant lightly. I'm pretty sure many of you will remember more of what the children said and shared today than you will what I do. But for the record, I'm not a bit bothered by being upstaged by a child. I appreciate all the ways God chooses to communicate his message. So, now all that being said, let's jump into today's short but powerful scripture. Here is the scripture for today. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's pretty short. Let me read it again. And I want you to just allow God to move over you and just take in what is being said through the scripture today. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, is this passage for real? Is it just me, or from first reading, does this just seem impossible? I know we all say we believe the Bible to be true, but is there anyone here who, when you read this, thinks, this Christian religious stuff the Bible is talking about is just more than I can do? Be honest with yourself. If you give me 15 minutes, I think I might be able to convince you differently. All right, I saw five people look at your watches. But we're going to make it happen. First, let's reframe what we might believe initially about these verses to better comprehend what Paul is really saying today. Rejoice always. This does not mean you're supposed to walk around and be happy all the time. I said it last week and I will say it again. God does not want us to act like everything is okay when it's not okay. Christianity is not a fake it until you make it type of religion. Instead, rejoice always is a call to the inherent or the natural joy that comes from a relationship with God rather than external happiness, which is based on circumstances. Knowing God is bigger than what you're facing, and He is with you. You can have a personal relationship with God, and you can have this type of joy. And there'll be more about this to come. Next, we just talked about rejoice always. Next, Paul said, pray without ceasing. This does not mean engaging in eye closed, shutting off everything else out, reciting flowery prayerful words all day. What it really means is that we are to acknowledge that God is with us at all times. He desires to be an active part of our day, and so we seek to include Him. Whether it is getting ready in the morning, traveling to school or work, being at school or work, shopping at Food Lion or Walmart, hanging out with friends, engaging in our hobbies, whether it be sports, fishing, hiking, reading, singing, art, whatever it may be, whatever you may be doing. What does it look like to include God in your work day? Does it mean you slack out on the job to do God stuff? No, it does not mean that. But realize how God is at work in the midst of your job opportunities for you to show God's love and kindness to others regularly without expectation of something in return. Let me just give you what I think might be an example of praying continually at work. Well, suppose you have a job where you're working in an office, and you're working, you're doing what you're supposed to, and by the way, I think we should do it to the best of our ability, not for the glory of man, but for the glory of God, but whatever we do, we're supposed to do to the best of our ability, as God allows. So you're working, and in the midst of this working and doing your job the way that you know you're supposed to, you notice that one of your teammates got a phone call. And after they got off that phone call, you could tell they were visibly upset. What do you do at that point? There are a lot of different things we could do. We could ignore it. We could immediately jump up and go run and ask them what's wrong. We could go and tell somebody else that somebody got a phone call and we don't know what it is, but it must be pretty bad. We can go tell another people about it. I think what Paul is talking about here and that whole part of praying continually, God wants to be a part of every aspect of our life. So when that happens, if we're continually praying, if we're continually connected to God, the natural thing to happen is to be, say, God, I know that something just happened with her or with him. Help me to know how you want me to respond. And as we become more connected to God and pray in this way, God literally leads us in what we're supposed to do. And sometimes God's leading is to do nothing more than simply pray. And God can tell us to do that, that all we need to do in this moment is to pray. And then some other times it may be that God's leading us, and it can actually be to go up and just place a hand on that person's shoulder and look them in the eye and say, are you okay? Knowing that more than likely in that moment they're going to say, I'm fine, or I'll be okay, or something like that. And as you leave and depart, they will know that someone cared. And that may be what God was asking for and how God wanted to use you. Or maybe in the midst of it, you're led and you go up and you go up to them and say, I don't know what it was about. I just saw you got a phone call. If you want to, I'd be happy to have lunch with you today. And maybe that person says, I appreciate it, but not right now. And even if that's not a rejection. That's a not right now, and it's an acknowledgement that you care enough that you're going to set aside time for them, or maybe they say yes. My point is, if God is with us every day and walking with us and we seek him, God will lead us in what God wants us to do, and it's not simply us figuring it out. Because if it's we hear that and we don't pray about it, those things aren't going to just naturally cross our minds. And when I say pray about it, I don't mean that all of a sudden you have to get beside your desk, now kneel down and pray like this to say, God, what am I supposed to do next? It's a continual conversation that you have with God, that you just ask God, God, lead me, help me to know what you want me to do now. So we've talked about rejoicing always and praying without ceasing. Then Paul said, give thanks in all circumstances. I believe what this means is that while it's unrealistic to be thankful for every situation, listen to this, we can be thankful in every situation. None of us are grateful and looking forward to the pain, the heartache, and the misery that the world brings. Having gratitude in every situation instead means realizing that God is going to take this, no matter how good or how bad it may seem. And as it says in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know we have a God that no matter what's going on, God is in it. And God is doing something good. This is how we become thankful in all circumstances. Now, to go back to our children that was here, the connection to Job. You've already heard about Job from the multitude of our little sermon givers this morning. So I'm not going to repeat the story of Job that's already been shared. But here in a nutshell is how we connect Job's response to his life to Paul's challenge to us today. So, After losing his children, his wealth, Job's immediate response to God was what? I'll read a scripture for you. It comes in the first chapter of Job, beginning with verse 20. At this, after this stuff had been taken away from him, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head. He didn't pretend everything was okay. He was miserable. He said, God, I can't take it. He didn't say that. It doesn't say in the scripture he said that, but that's what he's saying and what he does. This is hard. This is miserable. I can't take it. By what he did in tearing his robe and shaving his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. That's what he did in the midst of the worst time of his life. This fits with Paul's command to rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. Joy and thankfulness are possible when our identity is in God's unshakable presence. Our identity, who we are, we realize that we are connected to God and we are His. When that is what identity is, rather than identity being in whatever instability of life we have going on at the moment. Job had instability. He had tremendous instability. He lost everything. But more than that, he had faith in God's presence. And that's the difference in recognizing that God is more powerful than our circumstances. Despite immense physical and emotional agony, Job remained in communication with God. This is what we're talking about praying continuously. He remained in communication with God, refusing to give up or give in, as his wife said in Job chapter 2, verse 9, curse God and die. She's looking at him, your life is miserable. You're going through this. God wouldn't want you to do all this. Just curse God and die so you don't have to suffer anymore, but he wouldn't do it. Because he held on to God, because his relationship with God was the most important thing to him. Job's life reminds us that God is always more powerful than our circumstances. So, Paul said we're to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. To do this in the way Paul said requires a shift from relying on our feelings to a deliberate act, deliberate, intentional act of seeking God's will for our lives. You know what God's will is for your life? I don't know specific, but I can tell in general, this is God's will for every single person here, every single person that's watching on Facebook, every single person that can't hear. God's will is that we have a good, fulfilling, purposeful life. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants for us. During difficult seasons, Paul's commands, those three things that he gave us, can become a spiritual checklist to maintain a healthy relationship with God that allows us to move in this direction, no matter what the world may throw at us. I want to just, these are a few practical steps that will help us. So I want to suggest this. First, choosing joy daily. Remember, joy is not an emotion. Joy is rooted in the decision to seek God. Remind yourself each day you are God's and ask God to show himself to you. Do that every day. And you will experience the joy that we're talking about. Secondly, praying continually. Think outside the box. I like to call it whisper prayers or five-second prayers. As you go along, do you go along if you've got a friend with you? And there are times you can just be quiet. If you have a good friend, unless you're with me because I'm never quiet. But if you have a friend, you can be walking along or you can be riding in a car, and sometimes you can go 30 minutes and not say anything to each other, but you still feel each other. You know the presence of being there, and it's comforting. So sometimes that's God being with you, and that can even be a prayerful state in and of itself. But even if you go for that length of time, at some point something's going to happen, or you're going to want to say something or need to say something to that friend. So as you're going along through your day, have those five-second prayers. Have those whisper prayers with God. God. Did you really do that? Was that you that just did that for me? God, this is hard, and I didn't think this was going to happen today. I really didn't. I'm not sure what to do next. Can you help me make the choice I need to make? And that's all it has to be. You don't have to have a bunch of religious mumbo-jumbo language. Have a conversation with God. Then, choosing joy daily, praying continually, and then being intentional about our gratitude. Being thankful in your circumstances, not for, but in your circumstances. And asking, what is God doing here? So as we get ready to leave, I like to have what I call a take it home piece. So I would encourage you, if you've taken notes, this is something you want to write down. Rejoicing always. If you want to get into what it means to rejoice always, I would encourage you to do this. Write down three things about God's character, who God is. As I thought about it, three things I came up with is His faithfulness, His love, and His presence. Three things that do not change. The reason it's important that you know they do not change is because this is joy in all circumstances. No matter what is happening to me, I know God is always faithful. I know God always loves me, and I know God is always going to be with me, because it says that in the Scripture over and over and over again. And I will have joy in any situation because I know these things to be true, no matter what my circumstance is. So whatever three characteristics of God stand out to you that you know to always be true and are meaningful, you write those down, because writing them down helps you remember them. Maybe even put the note on a mirror somewhere or something. Secondly, praying continually. Practice praying continually by talking to God about the small decisions, like the things we just talked about earlier. I'm going to give you a few more. The clothes that you wear. You may think about that last week. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about last week because it wasn't. Those of you who were here know I didn't have the appropriate clothes on because I had a short sleeve shirt and it's very cold by the time I left here. If I'd looked at the weather, I would have known better. But there are things about something as simple, and I'm not going to try to explain it all, but if you want me to, I will. Praying about what clothes you're going to wear for a day could be appropriate, because there are times that we just get, or maybe we struggle. Maybe you one that changes clothes 18 times before you get out the door and it makes you late and puts you in a bad mood. You think God wants you to do that? Well, I think things like that God wants to be a part of. Or how to deal with an unexpected work situation. Think about that just for a second. Think an unexpected work situation. All right, don't tell me, but you've got some in your head. I want you to raise your hand if that unexpected work situation you just thought of was negative. Raise your hand. All right, if it was positive, raise your hand. A lot of you ain't thinking. All right, so my point is, a lot of times when we start thinking we're going to talk about God, the only thing we talk to Him about are the negative things. I'm glad there were some positives here. But when things are going good, we should talk to God about those too. Suppose you got a raise. What are you going to do about that raise? Are you just going to celebrate? You're going to go out and buy everybody drinks? What are you going to do with the raise that you got? Are you going to pause long enough to say, God, I didn't see this coming. Thank you for allowing me to work at a place that honors the type of work I've been trying to do for you. Thank you for allowing me to work at a place that can afford to continue to take care of their employees. Thank you. And thanking God for something like that. Or maybe, listen to this one, I can't go without this. Maybe you pray before you walk into your home, after you've gotten home from work, of what you're going to say to your family when you walk into the door. Do you think your evening might be different if we spent more time taking 10 seconds, 5 seconds, asking God what He might want us to say when we walk in the door versus just bursting in the door and saying whatever comes to mind? Does God want to be a part of that part of our life? I think so. So, praying continually means allowing God to be involved in those aspects, every aspect of what's going on in life. And finally, giving thanks. I challenge you to list 5 challenging, difficult circumstances in your life. For each one, I would challenge you to find a small mercy moment within it, like support from a friend or a moment of peace, And as you put that into practice, if you think right now, if you take time today to come up with those five things that are challenging in your life, and you, because it is, God's there. Scripture says it. Romans 8:28, we just read it. God is there, and God is good, and God is moving in the midst of that. And if we take time, if we make a point of taking time to acknowledge that, it will become something that we will do more naturally. And so that giving thanks continually leads to the rejoicing. It all works together. That's what God desires for us. And Paul prayed that. Paul didn't pray that. Paul shared that, and it's something we can be a part of praying continually about, just like he talked about in the Scripture. I'm going to ask our praise team to come up, and they're going to lead us, and as they do, I want you to think just a moment. Is it possible for you to live the way Paul just talked about, rejoicing always, praying continually, and giving thanks regularly? It is possible. And if we do it, it will change our lives. It's not something that's just click of a finger and it's going to happen. It's not something we do. It's something God is able to do through us. You can't do this if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We talked about this at the beginning, and if you don't, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, and you can do it at any time, but now is always the best time. So I invite you, if you want to talk to me about that, I can begin that conversation with you now. It's one of those things where if for some reason you don't want to come now, I'm open, just reach out to me, whatever way you see fit. But if God's moving in you, and maybe you are a believer, and you say, you know, but I'm not living that way. I'm not living the way Paul was talking about because I really didn't think it was possible. It is possible. It's what God has always desired for your life, and you can begin going down that path today. And it will begin making a difference in your life today. So God doesn't want you to wait. And if you make that commitment here, there's nothing magical. There's nothing super special about coming to it here because God is with us at all places. But yet it is, because when God calls us, if we get used to responding when God calls us, we aren't as likely to miss out on what God's calling us to do. So if he's calling you right now, there's a reason he's calling you right now, and he wants you to respond. If you respond, he will honor that. And you don't have to come through me. You can go and just kneel at this altar. You don't have to come through anybody. Pray directly to your God. Respond as God would lead. Let's stand together.